On Monday's front page, now that Republicans on the Congressional Deficit Reduction Committee have softened their opposition to tax increases, the panel is expected to submit a report by the November 23rd deadline, but delay the tough decisions on taxes. We'll get a look at a secret Google lab. It's so secret most Google employees don't know it exists. And Hispanics are offsetting the population declines among whites in small towns in the Midwest. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Congressional Deficit Reduction Committee is looking for an escape hatch. Committee members want to reach a deal but delay decisions on raising taxes. Times reporter Robert Pear says this comes after Republicans on the committee softened their opposition to tax increases. The strategy is for the panel to decide on how much new revenue has to be raised, but panel members will leave it to congressional tax writing committees to fill in the details next year. The deficit committee has little more than a week to finish its work. In Washington, there's still a good deal of doubt the panel can agree on spending cuts and revenue increases to reduce budget deficits by $1.2 trillion over 10 years. If the panel falls short, automatic cuts will start in 2013. Felons who've done their time are finding it's easier to get their guns back. Times reporter Michael Luo says lobbying by pro-gun groups has loosened laws across the country. People with felony convictions forfeit their right to bear arms under federal law, but since 1980, Congress has let states decide on getting their guns back. 36-year-old Eric Zettergren didn't even have to wait for a hearing in Washington State in late 2004. A couple of months later, he fired his Glock 17 semi-automatic at a man he found in bed with his girlfriend. Prosecutor Dennis Tracy says if Zettergren's gun rights hadn't been restored, it probably would have saved a life. Monday's Times says Google has a top-secret lab where engineers and robotics experts are tackling 100 seemingly impossible ideas. This may be the place that makes them less far-fetched. This may be the place that develops a robot that could go to the office while you stay home in your pajamas. Or maybe it's the place that designs an elevator you could take to outer space. The lab is so secret Google won't talk about it. But it says investing in speculative projects is part of the company's DNA. Also on Monday's front page, the debate over the health care overhaul is focusing on the limits of federal power. The Supreme Court could agree as early as Monday to be the final arbiter of the case challenging the reforms. The case focused on whether Congress overstepped its constitutional authority. Lower courts have reached differing conclusions. Times reporter Adam Liptak says the Supreme Court could be asking questions like these. If the government can require people to purchase health insurance, what else can it force them to do? Or what can't government make citizens do? After the uproar over debit card charges, banks are raising consumer fees, but they're doing it quietly. Banks are under pressure to make up $12 billion in income that vanished with the arrival of new rules lowering debit card swipe fees and limiting overdraft charges. Times reporter Eric Dash says the result is everything now seems to have a price. Want to deposit money with a mobile phone? U.S. Bancorp is now charging 50 cents a check. Want cash wired to your account? Starting next month, that'll cost $15 at TD Bank. Need to replace a lost debit card? Bank of America is now charging $5 for that, but if you need rush delivery, it's $20. In small towns in the Midwest, Hispanics are offsetting the decline in the white population. Ulysses, Kansas, population 6,900, is now evenly split between whites and Hispanics. The last white-owned restaurant serving American favorites closed earlier in the year. Times reporter A.G. Sulzberger says Luz Gonzalez filled the burgers and fries void, but first she had to get neighbors to show her how to cook things like potato salad. Inside Monday's Times, Brazil moved to tame one of Rio's biggest slums in anticipation of the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympics. About 3,000 police officers and soldiers occupied the sprawling Rocinha slum with tanks. Snipers took up positions on rooftops, but by Sunday evening, no one had fired a shot. First it was Athens, then Rome. Well, could Paris be next? Monday's Business Day section says the jump in Italian bond yields last week reminded investors that French banks hold billions in Italian debt. One crucial gauge of investor confidence is the difference between what France pays to borrow versus what Germany pays. That has doubled since the beginning of October. Last week, the spread was the widest it's been since the euro currency zone was created in 1999. In Italy, economist Mario Monti was tapped to form a new government. This after Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi stepped down. President Giorgio Napolitano gave a tough speech aimed at reassuring investors about Italy's commitment to the euro. Napolitano called on lawmakers to form a broad coalition supporting Monti. Times reporter Rachel Donadio says most major parties are prepared to back the new government, but few signaled they're willing to join in. Here in New York, holy traffic jam, Batman. The Queensboro Bridge was closed for most of the weekend to film a scene in the next Batman movie. That meant snarled traffic and angry residents at both ends of the bridge. Last spring, the city renamed the bridge for former Mayor Ed Koch. He said nobody told him about the closing ahead of time, but he said he had championed the city's moves to promote film and entertainment jobs. That's our preview of Monday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.